Welcome to the January 2025 episode of In the Distance Oblivious Playlist Podcast. It's a podcast about music
by two people who love music. She's the New Year Phoebe Fowler.
And he's the moody story writing Big Al Hammond. Every month, we pick 11 songs of pretty much any genre or any time period that we put into a changing Spotify playlist. Our podcast talks about some of the songs that we pick and anything else about music that might come into our heads.
Our podcast is never intended to be overly professional. It's basically unscripted, just two random people sitting around talking about music and why we often like,
but sometimes dislike,
each other's music tastes.
It's the new year.
Happy New Year.
What's that New Year song?
The Auld Lang Syne song?
Yeah.
That nobody knows the words for?
No.
Yep. And I think the words are like stupid and or confusing and or, yeah.
It was nice to listen to.
Yeah.
During the holidays.
Did you, we had a nice holiday season.
Yes, we did. We still have some fun prepared coming up.
We do. We have more fun coming up. We have more holiday festivities coming up. We have many things going on. But we are here on this solemn and important occasion to bring you our podcast.
Indeed.
Featuring 11 new songs, featuring other stuff to talk about musically and otherwise. How have you been, Phoebe?
I have been, what's a good word, insular, you know?
Uh-huh.
Just hunkering down, enjoying discovering new music.
Exactly.
And when it gets dark and cold, what else can one do? Thank you, Chicken and Feeds, thank you. But, you know, we try to pepper in as many, like, fun little activities that we like, and in the meantime, listen to music.
Exactly. What do you think about your songs this month? And what do you think about my songs this month?
You know, initially I convinced myself that my playlist, my songs were pretty much all over the place. And in a way they are.
They are, in a way.
But I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, you know? I liked my songs. There's definitely like a couple that I think that you will, if not actively dislike, not be a fan of, which is fine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're not wrong. Yeah, I didn't dislike any of them, but there was a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but overall, I liked mine. I give mine a solid 7.5 out of 10.
Uh-huh,
I'll go with that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how about mine?
Your songs, I liked. It took me, it's so funny, on the second listen, it kind of hit me, your songs.
Okay.
There's definitely a few that need to get in. There's maybe even a couple that are greatest hits worthy.
Oh, really?
In my opinion. Yes.
Interesting. I wonder if we think the same thing.
We'll find out. Yeah, and like there was definitely a few of yours too, though. Like, I couldn't decide which I liked more.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that'll be interesting to see how that plays out for
our
picks.
And who picks which of what.
Exactly. Yeah, what did you think of mine? What did you think of yours?
I was pretty happy with mine. I think there's, you know, like any playlist, there's some that are probably not quite as good and not mm-hmm. quite as worthy, and that's fine. I liked all of mine. I do think there are a bunch of mine, maybe not greatest hits worthy, but I do think there's a bunch of mine that I think I really want to get in.
Yes. Yep.
Yours, there's two or three that are really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several that there's a bunch that I liked a lot. There's also at least two that I felt like I'm supposed to like a lot that maybe I Oh, I don't dislike at all, but there's a couple that, like, I wonder if they were put in there for me to
pick. I was just going to ask if you thought that I put them in there for you to pick.
Uh-huh.
Make a note. Write that down. Make a note of what those songs are.
Oh, I'm fully aware.
Okay.
I'm fully
all right. aware. I'm so curious. Right. We have to come back to that.
Yep.
All right.
Do you have a prediction on how you will do?
You know, I think, and I'm a little scared to say this, but I think I'm going to do very well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing 9, maybe even a 10-day.
Oh, really?
I know. I put it out there into the world.
Okay.
I think I'm going to do well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And how do you think I'll do?
I think you're going to get 8.
Okay.
I think you're going to do well. Maybe not as well as I do.
See, I kind of think the opposite. I think we're both going to suck.
No.
Yeah. I think you will struggle to get 8.
Damn.
And I think I will probably get 7.
I think you're going to get at least 8.
No. No.
I don't know. To me, it seemed pretty clear what we were both going to pick here.
Okay.
But.
You're right more often than I am, and you're right more often than not.
If this was a life or death thing, we could rely on my guess, probably.
If it was a life or death thing, I don't think I would want to. I don't think I would want to play that fucking game. Either one of us. But I appreciate your confidence in your guesses.
Right. So then, of course, I'll get 6 after all of that. So.
Yeah. So we last month we started sort of having a little bit different format. We no longer record us picking the songs live. Instead, we leave for a little bit, and then we come back, and we briefly go over what songs got in. And then we sort of talk about some of the songs that didn't get in, some of the songs that did get in, and just anything else we want to talk about. And then we usually spend a little time talking about something else musical.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Phoebe has a little... presentation for us
indeed
to talk
I do.
About.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, I am too. So we're going to take a little break right here. We're going to have a little musical interlude or something, and then we're going to come back and we'll go over the 11 songs that got into our January 2025 In the Distance Oblivious playlist. Congratulations to Phoebe!
Hooray! I won!
Phoebe again has won the coveted playlist Frank Award.
Woop woop!
She got 9 correct votes. I only got 8. I think we both did quite well.
I did
better than I thought
we
I would
did
do.
Very well.
You did better than I thought you would do. Congratulations!
Hooray!
As a result, Phoebe picked 2 songs, both of which were her initial submissions that did not get in. I selected one of those for the final 11th song. So now we're just going to go through each song and talk about the songs that did get in.
The first song we're listening to is Going Down Slow by Bo Diddley, Muddy Waters, and Howlin' Wolf, from their album The Super Super Blues Band, released in 1968. It was our all-star 11th pick that Big Al chose between this and the Robert Johnson Come On In My Kitchen.
The next song is Frazee Ford's Lost Together from her album Obadiah in 2010. This is Frazee Ford's 5th appearance in our playlist. She's been in for Indian Ocean, You Can Be the Sun, Hello Love, which was with the Be Good Tanyas, and Out of the Wilderness, which I think was also a Be Good Tanya song. Next up is Supernatural by Vic Chestnut from the album Drunk in 2004. This is Vic Chestnut's second appearance. He was in previously for Sad Peter Pan.
Oh yeah.
Vic is very much a cult hero. He released 17 albums. The first two were produced by R.E.M.'s Michael Stipe. And I didn't know this, Vic Chestnut also had a small role in the Billy Bob Thornton movie Sling Blade.
I have no idea.
He was something of an actor. He died on Christmas Day, 2009.
Our fourth song is Black Girl Memoir by Doechii. I picked it, of course, and it's from her collection, Oh, the Places You'll Go, released in 2020. So, for our special topic this session,
yes. We'll
be talking about Doechii. Surprise, surprise.
I look forward to it.
Good.
Next up, we have Wings, a live version of Josh Ritter's song from the album Acoustic Live, Volume 1 from 2015. This is Josh's second appearance in the playlist. He's always been kind of a perplexing character to me. I've seen him live twice. He's one of those performers that's having a lot of fun performing, almost to the point of it being distracting to me. Some of his music feels a little bit forced or poppy or sort of contrived almost, but when he's at his best, like he is here, I think he's one of the smartest and most literate songwriters you'll ever hear. I like this song a lot, and I picked it.
Coming up on song number 6, we're listening to Horse Feathers. Their song, Rude to Rile, from their album House with No Name, released in 2009. This is their second time in their playlist, the first being Curs in the Weeds. Our next song is Table for Glasses by Joseph. It's a single they released in 2024. I actually have a little bit of history with this song. Are you familiar with the band Jimmy Eat World?
Slightly.
Mm-hmm. Very 90s emo scene kind mm-hmm. of band. Frankly, I don't think you would like it. But I always liked that song, and I found this when I was rabbit holing or something, and I was sort of tangentially familiar with Joseph as a band. But anyway, I came upon this song, and I had to get it in. So this was definitely my pick.
The next song was my pick, Always Neighbors by Limoncello, from their album Limoncello, which was released in May of 2024. This is their second appearance as a group. They were in for Mantelpiece only 3 months ago in October. But Laura Quirk with Joshua Burnside was in the playlist a while ago for Far Away the Hills Are Green. I didn't find this song on Spotify. I found this song rabbit-holing Laura Quirk and then Limoncello on YouTube. So I want to talk more about this song later in the show, but seeing the video of them doing this live basically made me throw out everything I thought I knew about this band.
Our next song is by Tiny Ruins and Hamish Kilgore, Tread Softly, from their album Hurtling Through, released in 2015. Tiny Ruins was previously in our playlist in December 2021 with their song Priest with Balloons. So for our 10th song, we're listening to Blake Mills, Don't Tell Our Friends About Me, from his album Hi Ho, released in 2014. He's one of my favorites, and if you can't already tell by that, he was previously in the playlist from If I'm Unworthy and Winter Song.
Our final 11th song is Oliver by Brooke Bentham. It's a single from 2016. She's a UK-based artist and plays and sings in Sam Fender's band. Of this song, her website says that it's a song that brought her in the sonic direction she was working towards. So those are our 11 songs. We're going to take a little break here, and then we're going to talk about a few of the songs that didn't get in, and a little bit more about a few of the songs that did. So I think we have a good playlist. Are you happy? Are you, like, what did you think?
I've said it before. I think that this, for me, rivals the Famous November.
But you say that pretty much every time.
I always say
this was a really good playlist.
I don't say that this rivals November,
though.
I don't
fair.
Say that. This is up there
and
for me.
Listeners, the November to which Phoebe refers is November of 2020, early
exactly.
in our playlist. And there was something about it for both of us that just was sort of wonderful.
Yep. And it still is.
And
it's
still
standing
is.
The test of time.
And yeah, we go back and listen to, we randomly go back and listen to months.
Yes.
And just pick a month at random. And sometimes it'll be a really good month and sometimes it won't. But very few have rivaled November of 2020.
This rivals November of 2020.
If you say so. Okay. You just like it because Doshi got in. Like
yes.
that's like forget the other 10 songs.
I have no complaints.
You just wanted to have a playlist that had Doshi in it. You got
yep.
it.
I did
and now
my job.
Now that rivals anything ever made by any human being.
I don't see anything wrong with that sentence. Anyway, so about the songs that didn't get in, though,
Tell me some songs that didn't get in that you want to
Frank
bitch about.
Frank has some things to
that,
say.
That you want to have something to say that something like.
Oh, come on now, that ain't even bullshit. That's horseshit.
All right, so remember earlier when I said that there were a couple of songs that I thought that you would not really care for.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Correct.
Frankly, the biggest one.
Tell me.
The Wax Taylor, Ungodly Fruit. Right?
Fair.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it, but I
okay.
was like, I don't really get it.
I didn't, see, that's what I didn't think that you would get it, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's out there, it's experimental.
Sure.
It's like.
It's fun to listen to. I enjoyed
yeah.
listening to it. Like, but I don't get why it's good enough to be in our playlist.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
Fuck you. No. I don't know. I thought it was interesting, you know? It's not like...
I enjoyed listening to it.
It was something that I really, really liked. It was more something that I wanted to introduce you to, because
sure.
I don't think it's something that you would listen to, basically.
You're right.
Right?
You're right. No.
You know what I mean, though?
In a good way.
Yeah,
no,
in a good way. It's like,
I totally grant that.
It's kind of blending into, like, electro whatever stuff that
sure.
I frankly
right.
don't even like. But there's, like, some of that, like, hip-hop in there. There's a little bit of, like... I don't know, it's funky, it's a little... I just wanted you to listen to that kind of stuff.
I enjoyed listening to it, yeah.
yeah.
And when it would come up in my playlist randomly, I would enjoy listening to it.
Yeah.
But
I
was also
think,
like...
Right.
I hope Phoebe doesn't pick this, because like, I don't think it's good enough. But anyway.
I didn't think that you would pick it. I was not going to pick it. I just wanted you to listen to it,
experience.
But also
yeah.
listen to
and we
that
have both,
kind of music more.
We have both
yes.
submitted songs to each other in that vein, and that's entirely valid. So you got some splaining to do why you didn't pick the Marty O'Reilly.
Okay. All right. So I have my platform ready, okay, to defend myself.
Okay.
To be fair. Okay, listeners. I don't watch any of the videos that Big Al finds, okay?
You don't?
Initially, it was frankly out of laziness, but now it's kind of just, it's kind of fun.
You
right?
kind of prefer basing it only on the studio
yes.
versions that
Spotify has. Because that's been most
has.
Of my
yes.
time listening to that, and I think frankly a lot of people do that and people that aren't obsessing over music like we are,
sure,
will do that, right?
Right.
I'm like, okay, I'll come into this with like sort of like an unfiltered whatever.
And that is totally valid.
Right. But
but the video is
listeners,
pretty amazing.
Listeners, I will say the video, holy shit, that needs to be the studio version. Maybe. The video version is a different song.
Maybe I'll include a link to that in the show notes.
You should 100%.
But having said that, the studio version is still really
the studio
good.
Version is good.
The studio version's really good.
It is, but all of those subtleties that are in the video version,
it's much more
and that
intense,
extra
and it's
rawness,
much more,
that intensity,
yes,
is lost. It's a fucking shame, honestly.
I don't disagree, but
disservice.
I also think the studio version is so good.
It is really good, but I wanted to pick something else.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
But no, if the video version had been the studio version, that would have gotten in, mm-hmm, hands down.
So can I talk about Limoncello? Like,
you can talk about Limoncello. Yes,
good
you can.
God, this video. So listeners, like, I was going to say this, and I think maybe I said this earlier. Like, I didn't find this on Spotify. I found this because I was rabbit holing Laura Quirk and Limoncello on YouTube. The video that is in this show notes, the video is actually five songs of a concert that they did live in a small venue, tiny
venue. We should
venue.
Add that link.
Oh, that'll be, the video will be in the
good
in the thing. When I heard the studio version, I was like, oh, okay, I'll include this and hope,
really,
that Phoebe doesn't hate the studio version.
Ugh.
But the video version is what makes the song fucking magic. And just the magic of their voices and the way they interplay.
Yep, that's where the magic is,
yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Laura looking at Claire, mm-hmm, and the way they interact.
It is something in Laura's voice. It's just like, it's up here. It's a deep throat. It's emotional.
Phoebe's holding her neck in a slightly frightening way.
But it's like, it rips out of her throat when she hits like those crescendos and everything.
Yeah.
And it matches up with the cello, I mean.
Yeah.
And it's just something
and her
that
phrasing
just
is stronger
bursts out of the song.
Her phrasing is stronger in that live version,
yes,
too.
Like, it is.
The studio, yep, version's fine and good and worth
I
listening
love the
to.
Studio version, but...
But man,
yeah,
they
that live version is out there for sure.
So what I was going to say was, like, this band, I thought these two women were two lovely, fair Irish lasses that sang pretty folk songs. These are two fucking possessed artists that are like playing at a game that we don't even understand. Like, that video is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And like, watch the whole thing. Like, listeners, like, go back and like watch them do this on the live version, but then watch the whole rest of the video. Man, it's good. Yeah. Good stuff.
That, yeah, it was amazing, really.
And thank you, Laura and Claire, for making that wonderful, mm-hmm, song and video.
Claire's cello playing,
she's,
my God.
She's just, she's
it's ethereal,
beautiful.
It's out there. Yeah.
Man.
It's stunning.
And again, like the interplay between the two of them. Mm-hmm. Man.
There's so much subtlety in it.
Yeah.
But that's a favorite.
We're going to come back and talk more about Doshi.
We are.
What else do you want to talk about? You got anything else you want to say?
I want to talk about Joseph, okay?
Talk to me about Joseph.
I love this song. I mentioned a little bit earlier that this is a cover song of Jimmy Eat World's Table for Glasses,
song, yes,
of the same name.
Yes.
Very different vibe in just the sense that it's like 90s emo band playing it.
And if I may say so, Joseph and Jimmy Eat World are rather different bands.
Yes.
Yeah. In a good way.
In a good way, yes. I suspect that you did not get it, that you don't like this song as much as I like this song. That makes me a little sad.
You are correct.
Oh, no.
So here's the thing, like, I get why people like Joseph. I get why they were/are a cool band. I get why I'm supposed to like Joseph. I just never quite got it. And I apologize for that. Like, like I used to listen to them a little bit, like in the mid 2010s, whenever they first like were a thing, and I liked them, and I clearly was supposed to like them. I still don't quite get it.
I didn't put this. Is this one of the two songs that you thought I put in for you?
No, actually not.
We should actually touch on that too.
Yes.
And see if they're my two songs. Obviously, this was one that I thought that you thought that I
This was one of the two that I didn't really like.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
But see, I get why you like it. I don't mind it. It's fine. Just like one of those things.
Are we even listening to the same shit?
Right. Are we even the same species?
I was sort of aware of Joseph. I never really went on my way to listen to them, though. And I'd listened to like a couple other things before, but this is definitely, in my opinion, the best that I've listened to that they've done. Yeah, and it was released this year, of course, as a single.
It's because you're obsessed with Jimmy Eat World, but keep going.
Jesus. We're not going to hit on my emo past, at least in this session, okay? Right. We'll come back to that later.
Fair.
But I really like it. Mm-hmm. Why don't you like it, though? Like,
I just don't understand. It's a little too self-important. Like, their presentation's just a little too, quote, I am meaningful, unquote.
I don't understand how we're together, but anyway. I'm offended.
That's all right.
You know what I think of your opinion?
Tell me.
Warning, warning, bullshit alert.
Anywho, I won Frank, so that's all that really matters.
Yes, exactly, right. I got to shut up because you are the Frank owner before, during, and after.
I get the final word.
You do. You do. I bow to your musical superiority in every way. Yeah, so earlier I think I said there were a couple of songs that I thought I was supposed to like that I didn't mind, but I didn't like. They sort of felt like they were like, and listeners, like Phoebe and I both like have this down to a fucking science where we fuck with each other, right? And we submit songs to each other that it's like, it's intended that you're gonna like this and therefore you have to like it, therefore you're gonna pick it.
Yes.
And then there are also songs that are like, oh, I think you think I like this song, so you're gonna vote for it, but I actually don't really like the song.
We are competitive.
We play all kinds of...
We play the game.
We play all kinds of evil mind games with this whole process. So the first was the Nathaniel Rateliff. It's a fine song. It ain't that good of a song, as Nathaniel Rateliff songs go. Like, yeah, it's Nathaniel Rateliff. He deserves much respect. He deserves much bows before him. It ain't that good of a song.
See, I liked that song.
Compared to other stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. I liked the song. I was like, oh, yeah, that's good. But that's from his latest album, South of Here, that he released this year.
Right.
And frankly, the album is not as good to me, in my opinion, to his other stuff.
So, right.
Yeah. And to be fair, I've only listened to the album all the way through once. I've listened to a couple songs more than once, but like...
And to be fair, you put this in here thinking you were going to get a free vote.
Nope. I did not. Because as you have checked the ballot, I did not vote for this song,
Fair.
Nope.
Fair.
So the two songs that I thought that you would think, that I thought that you thought, that we would both think about you thinking...
That you thought, I thought, we thought?
Yes.
Hence thought? Frank was thought?
Joseph and the Cat Clyde.
The Cat Clyde was correct. I did not like the studio version, and I love Cat Clyde.
Yeah.
I think she's amazing. And like we were saying watching the videos, like Cat Clyde is like one of those people that like I would like to spend 7 hours sitting around drinking with.
That's a long time.
But that's what it would take to like really get Cat Clyde.
Yeah, they
like,
seem really cool, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that video version was much better.
And the video version of that song is way better than the studio version.
It's funny though that you say that, because I didn't actually submit any of the songs here thinking that I was going to get a free vote from you.
You're lying, but keep going.
No, I'm being actually serious. These are just songs like, wow, I really like these, so I'm going to put these in.
There are
a couple that I was like,
And you had a bunch that were really good, but also not quite absolutely good.
Yeah.
Of
a bunch, huh?
Of which that was one, you know?
Several of them.
For me, like, the horse feathers was like your absolute prize winner.
I did think that you were going to like that, I put that in for myself as well.
Uh-huh,
you know what
enough.
I mean?
And I knew you were going to pick the Doshi, but I also fucking love that song.
Right?
Like, that's such a good song. And we will talk a little bit more about that, about her and that song and everything related to her in a little bit. So I think we've made a really good playlist.
We have.
We've done well. You've done well. I've done well. Frank has done well. Carl is somewhere around here.
He hasn't knocked anything off the counter.
He hasn't knocked anything over. He hasn't bitten either of our feet. So we're doing well.
The night is young.
Exactly. We will be back in a little bit, and we will talk a little bit. Phoebe will especially talk a little bit about one of her favorite artists, Doshi.
So here, we're in our new special segment.
Special segment.
Exactly. We're doing things a little bit differently. So every month, we'll be talking about a topic about music, right? Or anything that we find that we like, that's interesting to us.
It also doesn't even have to be about music. Like, we could talk about the weather.
I don't want to talk about the weather for 10 minutes.
I don't either. No.
You know.
That's less interesting.
Unless, you know, it's like apocalyptic out there, but yeah, you don't need to listen to a podcast for that, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so this time we'll be talking about music, and we'll be talking about Doshi. Yeah, Doshi.
Phoebe's new favorite.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So.
Tell me.
Let's talk Doshi.
Let's do.
All right. I first came to hear her music, and specifically her song, around 2021, A Black Girl Memoir, which is in our playlist this month.
This was the first song of hers that you heard?
Yes.
Interesting.
Exactly. And it's from her collection of songs, Oh, the Places You'll Go, that she released in 2020. I was not actually listening and aware of her until sort of end of last year.
Okay.
But actually paying attention earlier this year.
Okay.
So I was sliding, you know.
That's all right. We all, you know, we miss stuff. We miss good stuff.
I mean, that's kind of why we like this playlist, because it's forced us to branch out and experiment more in that sense, you know.
And also, like, look at the history of our playlist. A lot of it is stuff from 1972
exactly.
We missed.
Know? And that's just one thing that I love, and we can agree on, that we both love about music, that we can find these things. It's easier to find them now, but also in ways it's harder to find them now, too. But anyway, back to Doshi.
Yes.
She apparently had been making music for years and years, and she sort of blew up with her song, Yucky Blucky Fruitcake, that I played for you.
Which is a fucking amazing title.
Right, from the same collection, Oh, the Places You'll Go. On TikTok, it blew up. And I was not aware of it then, of course.
Right.
But I do like that song a lot, right? And I like her so much just because when she's performing, it's like she brings her whole sense of self to her performance. It is 100% a performance, and it's also just like visually and
it's
just
a performance,
lyrically,
but it still
musically.
Feels so genuine.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Like watching that tiny desk, it's like I was so impressed with her and her band that it's like it is very staged and choreographed and perfect, and I mean to me it's like that's kind of what rap is, that it's clearly very, it's very rehearsed. But I feel like the difference for her, for me anyway, is like somehow it feels more genuine.
Yep. She actually did this interview with Rolling Stone where she talks about how she makes her music. And sort of ditching the quote-unquote formula, right?
I love that. Yeah. You sent me that interview. Right? I love that interview. Yeah.
Wasn't it so good? Mm-hmm. And she was saying that she makes her best work when she's not thinking about a formula, right? And when nobody cares, nobody's paying attention to her is when she makes her best music. And if she is thinking about a formula, all it does is distract her, and it distracts her from telling her truth, right? And I don't know, that just like, it just, a light bulb went off or something. I'm like, I totally get what you mean. And just watching her perform, and just not even watching her, just listening to her perform, you can just, you're immediately drawn in. You know, it just, she fucking grabs you, and you're sat, you're paying attention. And I love the drama. I love the theater of it all. I love the performance. But it's also...
But she's doing it for her reasons.
Exactly. Yeah. She's doing it for herself, for her reasons, because she has a story to tell, right?
Can I read you a quote from that article?
please.
I love it. Like this, to me, this was the takeaway. It's like, she's speaking here. It's like, I have to make music for therapy. And for me, that's the formula. If it blows up on TikTok, it blows up. But I can't make music from that place. It distracts me, and then I'm not able to tell the truth, you know?
I have that exact quote saved. I need that, like, on a t-shirt, right? It's like, these are, like, the universal truths that, I mean, it's not even just music, right? It's art, it's anything else that you're creating from yourself.
Well said.
This is what we should all aspire to, right? And aspire to make. And you as an artist,
make an art,
sure
but
you
just your daily life, right? You know? Good, good stuff. Yeah, and to me, like, watching her tiny desk, that's the good shit that I take away from it.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, like, she's funny, she's smart, she's interesting, like, she does interesting, smart things musically that build with harmony and layers and stuff. But to me, like, what makes her, what makes me enjoy what she's doing is, like, that genuineness and that... It's coming from somewhere deeper than giving a fuck about what anybody else is.
It's coming from
inside of her.
And it's just so apparent. Like, yes, I love listening to her just with headphones on. And it makes me pay attention to everything that's going on and all these other layers.
Which is hard to do.
Which is hard to do.
Because there's a lot going on.
But when you get to see her perform, even if it's like a big concert or whatever else, just seeing her on that tiny desk, it's just... Wow, all of these subtleties, all of these background things that are going on, just like the whole stage presence, all of the women are black, all of them have on braids, most of them are like,
and everybody
in
the band is a woman.
Exactly. Everybody in the band is a woman.
Yep.
It's just like, it's that, it's her performance with some songs. You can tell that she's like pushing things. She's fucking hilarious.
Yes.
And just the quality of the band, the timing, everything is just so precise. She's a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And I can tell that she is obsessed with her music and her message and getting out. And she wants people to experience things how she wants them to experience it. Yes, you take it and you do the thing, but this is a thing that she is very persistent on.
It was interesting. It was interesting to me too. Like, you sent me when we first started talking about her.
Mm-hmm.
You sent me some of her videos, some of her stuff, and you sent me a great thing. I forget whether it was from SNL or for like one of the late nights.
It's the Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Right. You sent me that video, and then you sent me a Tiny Desk video, and like they're both so interesting and smart and creative, and in their own way perfect, but they're so totally different.
Right.
In that the late night
it's
thing,
it's a duality of it. It's
was like it's very much a stage, and we'll try and include like the Tiny Desk is already in the show notes.
We should add the late
we'll,
show.
We'll add the other one too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect it's like a music video, right?
Yes.
It's very controlled, it's very staged, it's very choreographed. It's very perfect in that way, and that's fun as fuck to watch. But to me, like, watching her play with a live band, that's what makes it musically smart and like over the top.
And just the ability to pick that out and to just say, oh, I'm gonna do something different with this. It's like she fucking gets in the head of, she just embodies that character. It's like, oh, all right, this is the performance I'm doing for the show. Oh, this is the performance I'm doing for Tiny Desk. Like, you're paying attention to what Tiny Desk is and what they're good at, you know what I mean? And you're coming to that with that mindset, and you just, you fucking come up with that. I don't know, I don't even know the how you start that, right? How you start to create that sound and that performance for that show. But it's just, like you said, it is so different, but they're both so, so good.
But it's also, like, the talent and the artistic vision to be able to do both. Like, like, that's what, to me, that's what's amazing. Like, it's one thing to have musical talent, but lack the ability to, like, be this showman.
That, like, she is a showman.
I, you know, like, you don't ever know, you don't ever know with any artist, you don't know what is their talent and their vision and their production versus people they work with. And, you know, it's all good. I don't care. But, like, regardless of who is holding the creative strings, those are both so interesting.
They're so good. I mean, I only think that she had a heavy hand in that just from watching the Stephen Colbert performance. So apparently about that, right, she had a vision for it, right? And she was inspired. So she had a choreographer and everything for it, right? All set up. And sort of in the last hour, she was like, actually, I'm going to do it myself.
Oh, nice.
So she choreographed the entire thing, styled the whole thing,
really?
Videography, all of it.
Right.
And she had never done it before. And she had 4 days. And she just came up with it off the dome. I was like, okay.
Right.
So this is what we're working with now, right?
Yeah.
And she
That's
said...
That's impressive. And
right?
Amazing.
She said in an interview that she, her inspiration for that Stephen Colbert performance was based on, are you familiar with MF Doom? Hip-hop, sort of. You've probably
familiar,
heard of
it,
right?
Familiar, but not knowledgeable.
In an interview, he was talking about, basically, and this is a direct quote, there's a time in hip-hop where things, from my point of view, started going more towards what things look like as opposed to what things sound like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was her inspiration for it. And she was like, okay, I don't want this whole thing to be sort of sexy dancing, 1, 2, 3, 4, you have dancers here and you have backups there and all this other stuff. And she was like, what we're going to do is have everybody looking the same. We're all going to be, and then the whole connected braids thing that she had going on.
Oh, that was so fucking cool.
It's just, it's fucking mind-blowing.
Was the connected braids thing her idea?
It was her idea.
Yeah.
I'm just, oh.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps from watching that, right?
I totally agree. And, like, so I was watching that, and I was like, wait a minute. Like, wait, what? What? Like, how did, like, and not only, like, who came up with the idea, but, like, even just, like, the physical choreography of who moves where, and like, how do you, like, how do you do this and not accidentally yank somebody's
exactly.
head off?
Exactly,
you know?
And like, that's what I'm talking about, like the precision, the timing, everything. And she just really stressed that, like, she didn't need to be the center of attention in that. And it was very much, we're doing this performance to enhance the music, right? Mm-hmm. It's not going to take
that's
away from the music.
Right.
And it basically, she wanted it to be a play. And I was like, that's that theater kid coming out.
Good stuff.
It really came across, though. I'm really excited about it, you know, about her as an artist and just like where she's going to go. And she has said herself that she's hungry, right? She's going to be the best that she can be with the time that she has. And I'm just sitting here waiting, you know, just paying attention to what's going to happen.
It's so interesting, and, you know, like, you know way more about it than I do, but it's so interesting with any new musical genre, and I'm speaking specifically about hip-hop, rap, whatever, but it's interesting how people come into the scene and who lasts and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look back through the history of music, and it's like there's people that are flash in the pan, one-hit wonders.
Right.
And those people matter for however long they matter. It'll be interesting to see somebody like her that seems to have not only a vision, but she seems to have a view of the bigger picture, not only of where she sits, but of her art in general.
Exactly.
It'll be interesting to see.
And, like, the message that she wants to give out, right?
Yeah. it'll be interesting to see what happens to her mm-hmm. in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years.
I am so excited. You know? Yep.
I hope she stays at that level of prominence because Agreed. She's clearly got a ton of talent mm-hmm. and also not just musically but artistically and other ways.
And she's done however many interviews since this mixtape, Alligator Bison mm-hmm. Over Heel, that released this year came out. And the little bit of history I know about the album, I mean the mixtape, sorry, mixtape, specifically she says mixtape,
yes,
right?
Because yes.
a mixtape and album are very different concepts.
Apparently.
She had basically a month to come up with it.
Okay.
And she was like, I'm just going to write a song a day and we're just going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck? And that's actually from an interview, another Rolling Stones interview that I want to send you that we should add.
Cool.
Because if you watch nothing else, watch A Tiny Desk, the Stephen Colbert, and then that video interview.
I got one more I got to add. You got to add that Rolling Stone thing where she and
Brittany Howard?
Dancing,
yes.
Right? Like there's a Rolling Stone interview with Doshi and Brittany Howard dancing. Ugh. And like... the interview, the article is fine, but just like watch the two of them
just
interplay.
Interacting with each other. Like, yeah. And that's somebody that we also love, Brittany Howard.
Absolutely.
And has been in our playlist
numerous times.
Exactly, right. Several times. And
the fact that the two of them speak to each other yes. and get each other and appreciate each other
yes.
and have love for each other, that is what music ought to be about.
Exactly. Bring that back. Oh, yeah, I'm definitely a fan. And like you said, I'm very excited to see what she does. And she's, in my opinion, she's on top right now. Like, I don't know if you've been keeping up with Kendrick Lamar and all those things, but he's given her his stamp of approval already.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what that means to me.
Well, you know about me and keeping up.
Oh yeah, you're up here, buddy.
No, nope,
right
nope,
there.
Nope, I'm down here. I'm like.
I tried to give you some credit.
Thank you.
No, but we both, I think, do a really good job of keeping our eyes and especially ears open to new and interesting music and artists that maybe haven't gotten their flowers, I guess, right? And we go back and we find really interesting things and we share it with each other. And like you said, that's what music should be.
And that's why we do this playlist.
Exactly.
And this silly little podcast that we hope you're listening to is because we want to enjoy music with each other, and we hope that you enjoy some of it too.
Yeah. Thank you for joining me on this Doshi extravaganza.
Thank you for bringing it to us, lovely Phoebe.
Thanks for listening. Both our Spotify playlist and our silly little podcast are updated and released around the first of each month. We're recorded every month in the warm and cozy hug of the OML Studios in downtown Manchester, Richmond, Virginia.
If you enjoy our podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our finished ordered playlist on Spotify by searching for In the Distance Oblivious.
You can visit our podcast home on the internet at itdo.name. Email us questions or suggestions at music@itdo.name.
Thanks to Gentleman Jack Double Mellowed Tennessee Whiskey for help in recording this month.
Our theme music is from Red Eye by Ease Jammy Jams. We find a lot of great background music from Blue Dot Sessions, and all of our music credits are listed in our show notes.
Thanks, Limoncello.
Thanks, Doshi.
Thanks, Frank.
Please keep listening and tell your friends.
I know I fucked up.
Bullshit detected.